Good morning, everyone. I hope you are having a wonderful Sunday, and I hope that you really had an amazing time in the presence of God. I know that we here were worshiping, and I just truly felt that the presence of God is powerfully with us. No matter where you're tuning in, God is with you. For the word today, we are going to continue our study through the book of James. We are in our seventh week, and today we will be looking at James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. So if you have your Bibles with you, you have a Bible app, would you turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12 with me, and we'll be reading through that today. In this particular chapter, James talks about the power and the importance of words that flow from our tongues, or even more fundamentally, from our hearts. And so before we get into the word, would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this is a day that you have made. Lord, we are longing to hear from you. We believe that you are a God who continues to speak, and that you want to speak to us today. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. Let your word be a lamp unto our path, God. And we just ask that whatever it is that is in our hearts that we are not aware of, that you begin to clarify things to us today as we come to your word and we seek your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For the past month, Edwin's company has been working on a trailer for a virtual reality version of this popular video game. Now, I won't mention the game, but on Friday, the trailer was released on multiple YouTube channels, one of which had over 14 million subscribers. Within the first 24 hours, the video received 486 comments from one of these channels. Some of the comments, though, were quite brutal. Edwin and his team worked very hard on this project, and I, as his wife, was witness to that. So it wasn't a pleasant experience to read some of the harsh words. You know, Edwin had to make a conscious decision not to take those comments to heart. You see, we live in a world where words are important. They often affect us more than anything else. We have been deeply hurt by words, and we've also been greatly encouraged and blessed through words. Words have the capacity to damage relationships, and words also have the capacity to restore broken relationships. Words carry tremendous power. And this is because God is a speaking God. It is in God's nature to speak. We live in a universe created by his speech. In the beginning, God spoke into nothing, and it became something. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Darkness heard God's command and became light. In this account of creation, the phrase "God said" comes before everything that God creates, including humanity. And then God reveals Adam and Eve's purpose for existing through words. From the very beginning, human beings needed God to tell them what they were created to do. God highly values his words. He relates to us, and he works in us today by his words. But you see, Satan also speaks. The Bible calls him the father of lies. And the first time Satan appears in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, we see the devastating impact of his deceptive words on God's creation. So we need to recognize the importance of words, because they can be used in many good ways, but also in many evil ways. God created us in his image and gave us the ability to speak to him and to speak to one another. But unlike God, the words that come out of our mouth are not always good and true. Our words can be destructive, which is why the Bible has a lot to say about how we use our words. Now, James already begins to address the issue of our tongues back in chapter 1, verse 26. If you recall with me, he says, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." What James is saying here is that a mark of authentic Christian faith is control of our speech. Faith is not only just seen in our deeds, but it is seen in our words. In this chapter, James begins with a warning for Bible teachers and preachers in the church. But really, this warning is for all believers. If you turn with me to James 3, verse 1. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Those who teach God's word in an official capacity as a leader of the church will be judged more strictly because of their words, because their words can do particular damage to the church. Teaching God's word is a responsibility that should be taken seriously. Teachers must realize that their words will convey God's truth or it will distort it. We need to pray for those who teach in our church. And I am grateful for all of you who continue to pray for our pastoral team, for myself. I'm grateful for the intercessors who were praying this morning. James then goes on to highlight the importance of keeping a tight rein on our tongues. In verse 2, he says, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body." Notice how James says, "we all," meaning every human being, including prominent Bible teachers like himself, has the potential to sin in many ways. And it is particularly common for people to sin in what they say. Isn't that true? Now, just because someone is a Bible teacher or a Christian leader, it doesn't mean they have the license to say whatever they want. Rather, James is reminding them that they, of all people, should recognize how important it is to be careful with their words. Getting the tongue under control is one of the most difficult yet important tasks in the Christian life. Christians should be the most careful speakers in the world. And this is not just referring to our verbal speech, but also includes the words that we write, that we type. According to James, a person who generally doesn't stumble in what they say proves to be spiritually mature. You see, this is what James means when he says a perfect man. He does not mean perfect in the sense of being sinless, but the Greek word telos is used here, meaning mature or complete. evidence of spiritual maturity is not based on how well someone knows and teaches the Bible. It is based on how well they embody it, particularly how they use their tongues. Someone who can keep their tongue in check can also keep their whole body in check. Then to show us how powerful our tongues are, James gives us two illustrations. The first in verse 3. He says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses to say that they obey us, we guide their bodies as well. An iconic public holiday for Melburnians that is sure to look very different this year is the Melbourne Cup. You know, I've only attended it once, and it rained heavily that day. And Edwin keeps reminding me that it'll be the only time we attend the Melbourne Cup. But it was fascinating to see these beautiful, majestic horses race, all going in the same direction with great agility and speed. You see, jockeys typically have a smaller frame because they need to be lighter in weight. They even have a weight limit required. Yet they are able to control this large horse because of a small piece of metal called a bit, which sits in the horse's mouth. Now, this is used by the jockey to direct the horse. The point that James is making here is that such a large animal can be controlled and manipulated by something so small. And the same is with ships. In verse 4, James says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and they're driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. You see, the largest cruise ship in the world has the capacity to take more than 6,600 passengers. Yet it is maneuvered by a rudder that is comparatively so small to its magnificent size. The tongue may be small, but it has an enormous impact on our entire lives and the lives of others. Perhaps you can think of things that you've said or not said that have changed the path of your life for either better or perhaps for worse. And then the final illustration James gives us has to do with fire. In verse 5, continuing then, and then on to verse 6, he says, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. You see, before the pandemic, you would all remember this if you were in Melbourne, Australia was dealing with a different crisis, the bushfires. The fires burned more than 17 million acres, killing 33 lives and destroying over 3,094 homes. Experts estimate that over 1 billion animals have died since the fires began in September last year. Those of us in Melbourne would also remember the heavy smoke and the air pollution that was caused by them. James wants us to consider how these fires might have started. You see, it only takes a small spark to start a large bushfire in the Australian bushlands during summer in a drought season. This is a picture of how destructive our words can be. An uncontrolled tongue has the power to ruin a life. Proverbs 16 verse 29 says, a worthless man plots evil and his speech is like a scorching fire. a small spark can be a piece of gossip, it can be a lie, a boastful claim, words that have been uttered recklessly, or a critical comment that is spoken harshly. Yet that small spark can lead to devastating consequences on our friendships, on our career, on our reputation, on our marriage. We must not underestimate the harm and the hurt the words we speak carelessly cause. In Proverbs 13, verse 3, it says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." You know, the tongue has a capacity for evil like nothing else. And this is really what James wants us to see. Tongues have destroyed churches, destroyed careers, reputations, families, and marriages. People have literally died, and wars have been started because of things that have been said. We must realize that the tongue is a dangerous weapon. No wonder James teaches us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. James then says it is beyond our human capacity, in fact, to control the tongue. In verse 7, he says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." If you've been to SeaWorld or perhaps a circus or even an elephant show in Thailand like I have, chances are you've been amazed by man's ability to tame wild animals that are larger than its size, some of which have the potential to rip them to shreds. And James says that despite man's ability to do such things, we cannot tame our own tongue. In fact, he reveals that the tongue and the nature of our words reveal what is really going on inside of us. In verse 9, he says, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." He's saying here that we use our words to praise God, yet we also use the same tongue to curse someone who God has not only made, but made in his image. Our tongues reveal how fundamentally inconsistent and sinful we are. You see, more than anything else, it is our tongue that shows the kind of people we are. James here is drawing from his half-brother, Jesus' teaching. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 to 19, Jesus says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, come murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Jesus is saying that sinful words inevitably come from a sinful heart. You know, it's not that social media has made us worse as a human race. It's simply that social media has given us a platform to publicly voice what is actually inside the heart. James's illustration of a spring not producing salt water, and then a fig tree not producing olives, and a salt pond not yielding fresh water resonates with Jesus's illustration of a tree being known by its fruit. In Matthew 12, verse 33 to 35, either make the tree good in its fruit or make the tree bad in its fruit and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit, Jesus says. You brood of vipers. He's speaking to the Pharisees, by the way. How can you speak good when you are evil on the inside? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. You see, just like a product is always a reflection of the source, our words are the product of the condition of our hearts. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue. A bitter heart produces a sharp and harsh tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. Unless we deal with the heart issue, our words will not get any better. In the analogy Jesus gave, he shows us the nature of our words can be like bad fruit or like good fruit. You know, Levi and I, funnily enough, not only share a very similar facial expression in a lot of things, but we share a love for oranges, particularly mandarins. And when mandarins are in season, both of us can eat so much in a day. In fact, the other day, he says to me, "Mom, you want to have a mandarin with me?" And he comes to me and he grabs me a mandarin and he grabs it and we just eat one together. You see, the taste for us, it's so refreshing. But you know, no matter how much we love mandarins, we will not eat a rotten one. And I will not give Levi a rotten mandarin. Words have the power to be refreshing, nourishing, and strengthening. And they have the power to be rotten, unhelpful, and even harmful. During the past couple of months, you have probably been feeling the effects of words more strongly than ever before. Maybe you've had some conversations about our current crisis which have left you feeling weakened and more fearful. Maybe you've had to limit how much news you consume to avoid feeling hopeless about our situation, particularly here in Victoria. If we keep listening to the voices of people who are feeling anxious and hopeless, it will be like eating rotten fruit, because their words are a product of the anxiety and the hopelessness in their heart. Now, at the same time, we need to listen to the words that we are saying and pay attention to what's going on inside of us. Being in lockdown for as long as we've been in Victoria, it's likely that most of us are just feeling over it. Like maybe we're feeling different degrees of frustration. And to add to that, we've had to deal with the economic and the social consequences of these restrictions. You see, times of crisis can cause a kind of shaking in our world. And when our world is shaken, what's in our heart gets exposed. Maybe there have been moments when you've said something harsh or hurtful to another person, either through text or even verbally, and you just don't know where it came from. Like you heard those words and it caught you off guard. It left you taken aback. Maybe in the past couple of months, you said or typed things in the heat of the moment that have led to conflict. Our words are an indicator of what's filling up our heart. What do your words reveal about what's in your heart? Has it revealed fear? Has it revealed jealousy? Has it revealed bitterness? Has it revealed pride? Has it revealed a loss of security? Or has it revealed unbelief? You know, psychology simply proves what Jesus is saying. Back as a student, I remember studying the studies of Sigmund Freud, who was an Austrian neurologist who founded psychoanalysis back in the early 1900s. And one of his areas of focus was anxiety. And he championed the idea that we use unconscious psychological strategies called defense mechanisms to protect ourselves from feelings of anxiety or guilt. You know, these defense mechanisms manipulate or deny or distort reality in order to defend against unpleasant feelings. So, for example, a defense mechanism may be displacement. And an example of that would be someone who is frustrated by their boss but can't take it out on them or don't know what to do with their frustration may go home and lash out on their family or on their spouse. Maybe in a moment of fear, you've lashed out with certain words that indicate there is anxiety in your heart. You know, I'm embarrassed to confess that there have been moments when my words make me sound better than I am because I'm afraid of what another person might think of me or what I've done. Our words reveal what's going on underneath. It is important to that we face the reality of what is in our hearts, no matter how uncomfortable or how embarrassing it might be. Because it's only when we deal with the heart issue that the speech will follow. So how do we learn to control our speech? It starts with the responsibility, with taking responsibility over our own words. In that moment where the nature of your words reveals something that is in your heart, don't ignore it. It's easy to just distract yourself or even to blame the current crisis. Don't hide behind the excuse that you were emotional and you didn't mean what you said. We must realize that our words that have been said can already do damage, damage that we never intended on doing. When something comes out of our mouth and it's not pretty, pause. Take note of it, because God may be working in you to expose a fear, a worry, or even unbelief that is laying under the surface. If you're not quite sure what exactly your words may be exposing, but you know that there is something in there, pray what King David prayed. He said in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." In fact, the Psalms are filled with prayers of people who've been through the darkest times of their lives, people who have felt anxiety, people who have felt depression, people who have felt sad. As you read through the Psalms, it will help you express perhaps the various emotions that you've been feeling. No one knows your heart. No one knows you more than God does. You can ask the Holy Spirit to give you clarity about what may be lurking in your heart. Then speak to God about it. Speak to Him. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." And then Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Speak to God about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done." You see, when we speak to God, God is on the other end with a listening ear. That's what I see when the verse says He cares for you. He's prepared to listen. He's prepared to serve you. He's prepared to comfort you. God wants to listen. He wants you to speak to Him honestly. He can handle your doubts. He can handle your brokenness. He can handle your fears and your disappointments. God is not insecure, but He knows how to deal with the issues in your heart. Take the heart issue to God and ask God to help you through it. Also, fill your heart with God's word. God's word heals our hearts. In John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." God's word is the source of all life. A.W. Tozer says, "God spoke a book and He lives in His spirit. spoken words. And He is speaking now, today. When God speaks, the dead are raised to life. Sins are forgiven. And the words that God speaks have the power to strengthen us, to refresh us, build us up, and give us clarity. God is love. He's not just loving. He doesn't just love sometimes. He is love. Therefore, everything He says carries His love. Perhaps there have been words said to you or not said to you in the past that continues to affect you in a negative way. Let God's word rescue you from the deception and expose the lies that have hurt you. Let God's word bring healing to your heart. You can trust God and take Him at His word. God always keeps His promises. Man can break His promise. Man might not know what they're doing, but God knows what He's doing, and God will fulfill His promises in His time. He proved how faithful He is to His word when He handed over His Son, His beloved Son, willingly. In Romans 8, verse 33-32, it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things?" You know, God never promised that you will not suffer in this life, but He promises that in Christ we can live victoriously. On the cross, Jesus defeated death. So death does not have the final word for God's people. Jesus is our living hope. He is alive, and He is our hope. No matter how the words of people and their broken promises have affected you, as you learn to hear God's voice above all other voices, you can find hope and healing. There has never been a more important time to meditate on the Word of God and speak it over yourself, over your heart. Jesus said that He is the living water. You commune with Him. You treat your relationship with Him as the most essential thing in your life. And out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Finally, choose to speak good words to others. In your conversations, in your chat groups, in your social media channels, fill your heart with grace by soaking in the Word of God, and it will overflow into words that will be enjoyed like good fruit by others. A heart filled with God's love produces a gracious tongue. A trusting heart produces an encouraging tongue. Be a person whose mouth is full of God's life. Choose to honor God and serve others with your words. Dedicate your tongue to the Lord. When God speaks, He speaks intentionally. He speaks with purpose. Jesus often said less than what He knew because He was prayerfully listening to the Father and saying only what He discerned He was supposed to say. The more you get to know God, the more you will think and you will speak like Him. We will grow in wisdom as we grow in our knowledge of God. Choose to be purposeful with your words. Seek opportunities to serve and love others with your words of kindness and encouragement. Say or write something affectionate to someone you care about at an unexpected time. Seek to only speak words that are good for building up and that give grace to those who hear them. For everyone who is in Christ, the tongue has the power to make marriages sweet, families strong, and churches healthy. Tongues can give hope to the despairing and advance understanding and spread the gospel. Before we close, If there is any one of you tuning in today and you have not given your life to Jesus, you can confess some words and communicate your desire to surrender your life to Him today. And perhaps this will be one of those life-changing words that you speak. This will be one that sets you on the right path of life for eternity. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that is you, if you want to make that decision today and you want to use your mouth to surrender your life to Jesus, would you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose from the dead. And I turn from my sins and I want to invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior, in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, you confessed it with your mouth, and you earnestly believed it in your heart, reach out to one of us, whether it be a life group leader, if you belong to a life group, or perhaps an usher, and we want to take you to the next steps. God, we thank you for your word today that has strengthened our faith. We thank you that you have built us up. We thank you for your word that sustains us in this season, that continues to carry us and give us hope. God, give us the desire to continue to run to your word and fill our hearts with your word so that out of that, Lord, our words can be good fruit to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us worship the Lord again.